Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul reminded us last week of the foolishness of the gospel. He said that God's foolishness is greater than human wisdom. He said that the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. No one wants to be called a fool. That's what I talked about last week. But when it comes to the gospel and the work of the church and our allegiance to the cross of Christ, we must understand that the rest of the world is going to think us quite foolish. For the gospel demands that we love our enemies. And the work of the church is to help not just those who help themselves, but even those who can't help themselves, or sometimes won't. And the cross of Christ is that we will give our very lives for the sake of justice, mercy, and love. Oh, we negotiate the terms with this God who comes to us with eternal salvation. We mistake the gift of grace with a bartered transaction. God, I'll buy what you're selling, but I can't go as high as to give away my nest egg. God says, I'm not selling. I'm giving you eternal life, absolutely free of charge. Well, God, I think we can make a deal with this love your neighbor thing, but you know, there are those people who just don't seem to want much love. I don't think we should really make them part of this deal. God says it's not a bargain we're brokering here. It's just a little gift from me to you. A gift that lasts forever. And that you get to share with everyone. We try and make it complicated. We try and make it fit into the way that the world works most of the time. But God isn't operating by the same rules as you and me. God isn't about transactions and bargains and deals. God is a giver, plain and simple. God gives the earth, the air, the sunshine, the rain, the crops that grow, the places of our lives, our homes, our town, our church, our family and friends, our very lives. God gives, and we are but the blessed receivers. And there's nothing on earth quite like it, this gift of God, except maybe the joy that's received when gazing upon the mountain skyline, or the prairie grasses waving in motion. Perhaps the laughter shared between friends that can finish each other's sentences, or the wonder of a newborn's eyes. But even in those moments of beauty and peace, we know all too well how fragile the gift really is. Life, friendship, even the earth itself. Indeed, God is more than a little bit foolish in trusting any gift of life and hope to us mortals. We don't really have a good track record for taking care of what we have, and yet God still keeps giving. As Paul continues his letter to the church in Corinth, after reminding them of this foolish, lavish God, Paul turns next to the way that he himself became the bearer of the gifts to this bunch of heathens. He mentions in his opening words that we've read today of how he held back from making it all too complicated for the Corinthians. He says he didn't use big words. He didn't use concepts that are hard to understand. Paul says that when he showed up in Corinth with a plan to share the message of God's love for all people, he said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's a little bit like when I ask my dad for advice on electricity. Like when I need to install a new switch in the house or an outlet. I have to run a wire to an electrical outlet. My dad was an electrical engineer, so he knows all about circuits and amps and breakers and watts and that you're not supposed to cut the wires with the pliers until you've turned off the power. But I have to tell my dad, now keep it simple. Don't use those technical words on me, because I don't know what any of that means. I just need to know what to do with the black wire and the white wire, and I have no idea what the red or the green or the purple wires are. But just keep it simple. When Paul came to teach the gospel to the people of Corinth about Jesus, he knew enough to keep things simple. He says, "My speech and my proclamation were not with words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit." And I think there's something in there for us too. In a lot of ways, being a Christian has become kind of complicated. There's a bunch of things that you have to do, and things that you can't do if you're going to be a Christian in the world today. You have to say the right words, and you're not supposed to say the naughty words. You have to go to church and wear the right clothes and behave the right way. You really shouldn't hang out at bars, and those places with the red lights, those are right out. And you have to marry the right kind of person and read the right kinds of books and take off your shoes at the airport just to make sure the people from the bad religions don't get in. Well, maybe that's not so much a Christian rule, but you get the point. It even goes so far sometimes as to set up rules for who we're supposed to care about and who we can dismiss and forget. Because after all, Jesus really didn't mean all of our neighbors. Now, did he? This is actually the same issue that Paul is eventually going to address with the Corinthians. You see, after Paul had left Corinth and gone on to other places to tell other people about Jesus, the Corinthians started to behave like almost every church that has ever existed. They began to pick and choose who was more important and who was going to be able to participate in the activities of the church and how. Imagine certain people in church saying that their favorite way of doing things is better than the preference of others because they've been here longer or because they know more about how Lutherans are supposed to do things. And it becomes all about the rituals and the songs and the kind of bread and where people sit and how much money is given and if homeless people are going to leave trash on the floor. Paul says that what really matters is something called a demonstration of the Spirit. What does it look like when people come into a place like this and are given the opportunity to witness a demonstration of the Spirit? Is it unique? Is it something that a person can't get on TV or buy at a store? Is it more than what can be attained by popping a pill or hooking up with someone they met online? Is what people experience when they encounter this bunch of people, not just those of us in this room, but all of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, is what people get from us filled with grace and love and acceptance, or are they met with the same judgment and expectation and prejudice that they get in almost every other place in the world? This foolishness of grace, God's grace, is something that only comes through giving ourselves the way Jesus gave himself in his life and his death. Foolish grace looks like something found nowhere but in God. Paul makes it clear to the Corinthians that before he introduced them to Jesus, they were some pretty bad dudes. They weren't what you would call exceptional churchgoers. Oh, they might have been good business leaders and powerful in politics, but they weren't the kind of people that anyone wanted for a neighbor, because they cared only about themselves. But then Paul taught them about Jesus and his love for the neighbor, about how Jesus calls us to welcome the stranger and feed the poor and care for one another, not because they are easy to love, but because they are the ones who are unloved by everyone else in the world. To be the kind of people, the kind of community that demonstrates the Spirit is to be a giver, to give like God gives, not through transaction, not through contract of behavior, not through an agreement that everything will forever stay the same, but through love and acceptance and a trust that the Spirit's going to move in them in ways that we never imagined. Demonstrations of the Spirit look like giving acceptance through love and grace, and then giving inclusion and listening to their ideas and letting them take the lead in encouraging partnership and working together for the common goal of God's hope in Christ. It really is pretty simple, after all. No funny wires to be worrying about. Just that God has loved each of us, even in our darkest times. And God has chosen to accept us, too. Foolish as that may be. But God has plans for us. God has a plan for us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God will use us to spice things up and to shine a light on all that is good so that everyone will know that this Christ who was crucified, this Savior who was sacrificed, was really God in disguise, showing the world what true power and influence look like. It's not about being the best or the most respected or the most true to tradition. It's not about getting what we want all the time or hiding behind trumped up expectations. Rather, it's about shining our light and not hiding it. It's about giving all that we have. Because that's what this foolishness looks like anyway.